method, or whatever.
Okay. We're both like, we have a lot to do. When we last left our heroes, we were up to Se'if Yud. Okay. So Se'if Yud, you have a famous machlokas Rishon, it was quoted by the Torah in the Beis Yosef, and even here in the Shulchan Aruch. Yisrael shenos and kesef l'umenu b'chovim lasos l'menu kli. What if a Jew gives money to a goyish uman to make a A Jew gives material, the example here is silver, to a goyish uman to make a kli. So really, it belongs to the Jew all along. It's the Jew's raw material, and then it's the Jew's kli in the end. Ain tzarich tevila. You don't need to tovel it. What an uman kona b'shvach kli. Don't we know that an uman is kona? If an uman improves the value, I gave him 50 shekel worth of silver. After you worked hard and made the kli, now it's worth 100 shekel. So uman kona b'shvach kli, v'taskin, he's kona the additional value of the kli. So doesn't that make it a kli that's owned partially by a guy? And then when I pay him and take it back, I'm buying it from a guy. And you buy something that was partially a guy, is your chayv and tzvila. So why did the Mechaber say potter? The answer is, he holds like Tosos in the Rush, that we don't go by the normal rules. Yeah?
Is it then in making it more valuable, or actually changing the kli?
Making it more valuable. Shvach kli. It has to be a shvach.
Because when we got like our silver appraised, they said nowadays it doesn't go by what you use it for, it goes by weight.
No, but it's still worth more money if you make it something fancy.
They said that nowadays if you have a thief come, they just sell it for scrap
metal. Yes, thief sells it for scrap metal, but when you go to the store, you pay more.
But you
still
can't
worth more than
resell it.
Even if you can't resell it, it's still worth more. Okay, just because you can't resell something doesn't mean it's not worth more. Just that it's hard to resell things in the modern economy. That messes up a lot of areas. A lot, but that's not our problem now. Clearly, it's worth more. I mean, if you went into the store, they're charging you more than if they were just selling you a block of silver. Now, so this is Tosfos in the Rush saying, no, over here we don't go by the normal rules of bios. We go by kemaisa shahayi. It has to be dumya. You're only chayim tefila if it's like the case of the Melchemes Midyan. And there it was shmo shel achim olav. The guy's name was called on it. It's a new, unique gedder in this area of halacha. Says Tosfos in the Rush, quoting Rish Yosef here, that ain shmo olav. It depends if it's called the guy. Over here, even though Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, it's not called the guy. It's your raw material. It's your finished product. He has some technical legal rights here, but it's not called his your potter. V'yesh Cholkin. The Rama says, V'yesh Cholkin, that's Ritzvah. Ritzvah disagrees. The Ritzvah disagrees, and he says that, now the Bach is a different Pshat in the Ritzvah than everyone else. We'll just stick with everyone else's Pshat in the Ritzvah. The Ritzvah says, we don't care if it's small love or ain't small love. We care who owns it. And the guy owns it, partially, and a partial ownership of the guy means when you buy it, you need to total it, because uman kona b'shvach kli. How do we paskin? Says the Rama. V'yesh l'tov lo v'lo bracha. Okay, we paskin safek. So here we have, you know, the materials are the Jew, and the labor is the Goy. Both Tosfos, Rush, Mechaber, say Potter, says Ein Shame Hagoy Olav. The Ritzvah says Chayav, because Uman Koneh Bishvat, please, this Shaya was going. It was Shaya to the guy. How do you buy back from the guy? By paying him his fee, you're buying it back from the guy. That means if I bring my shoes to the shoemaker, and the shoemaker fixes my shoes, now he owns part of my shoes. And when I pay the shoemaker 100 shekels, I am buying back part of my shoes. And I'm buying part of it from a good. Okay, so that is, what are we popkin? Halacha lemaisa, safek. Okay, fair enough. Now, this actually, here we get into a big controversy before we continue. In the Pesachei Tshuva, says the Pesachei Tshuva, according to the Chacham Sa'adam, a Jew who has a factory and there are Goyish workers, it's Safek Tvila, Safek Chayv Tvila, Safek Pachachem Tvila, because this is holy on this Machlokas. It's a Jewish factory, the Jew owns the materials, but it's Goyish workers. And therefore, he says the Safek, so whoever buys it from the Jewish factory, the Goyish workers, has the Tovah without a bracha. However, all the Achronim disagree. The Chalkas Binyamin here quotes from many, many poskim.
Isn't it really made on glass?
No, but he says two things. He says, first of all, it's Safek. That's the second thing he says. The first thing he says, and therefore, if you're stuck, you can use it without tefillah, because you can be making on a Safek Drabanan if it's glass. But if you're stuck, you can't use metal without tefillah, because that's a Safek Daraisa. But it's basically so that it's a Safek. Okay, it seems to be just a straightforward application with some, some applications, some practical cases of this Rabbah. Okay. However, the Chalkas Ben Yamin quotes in the Achronim, not true. We actually do not pass like the Chachmas Adam at all. As a matter of fact, he even wants to say the Chachmas Adam didn't really mean what it sounds like he means. Why not? Because the Chachmas Adam's case was not Uman Kona B'Shvachli. Why? Who paid attention? Oren, you're not going to pay attention? Is the Chachmas Adam's case really a case of Uman Kona B'Shvachli?
No, he has a...
What's the difference?
He's making the entire clay.
No. What's the difference? So he quotes here. The Yad Yosef and Darkei Tshuva and Rav Moshe Feinstein say, hold on, Chachmas Adam's case is not true. That's not an Uman, that's a Poel. Uman and Poel are two different things. An Uman means he's an independent contractor. You pay him a fee, he doesn't work for you. If I was a shoemaker or the repairman, he doesn't work for me, he charges a fee. A Poel means I pay him by the hour. He's working for me. An Uman is Kona B'Shvachli, a Poel is not Kona B'Shvachli. Poel's not Kona anything. He works for me. And that's Mefurish in the Gemara, in Bava Metzia, they point out. And therefore, what are we paskin? We paskin not like the Chachmas Adam. As a matter of fact, the Chalkas Yom was saying, maybe even the Chachmas Adam didn't dafka mean that. Maybe he really didn't mean a poel. He really meant an independent contractor. Okay, but regardless of the Chachmas Adam, we paskin, this Chumra does not apply to a salaried worker, only to an independent contractor. Therefore, if a Jew owns the raw materials, he owns the factory, and there are going who are salaried workers, are not Kona B'Shvachli. He's Kona then. Yad Poel, he has all the bias. He owns them while they're working. I mean, slaves. But I'm saying he owns their work while they're working. And therefore, there's no shash whatsoever because it's Jewish the whole time. That is halacha l'maisa, not like it sounds like in the Chachmas Adam in the Pesachei Tshuva. For workers, there's no problem, only for independent contractors. For salaried workers, employees, that's the word for employees, there's no problem, only for independent contractors. Like, repair shops are generally independent contractors. I go and they say, repair costs 200 shekels. They don't work for me. But if I have a worker, that's no problem. Employee, that's no problem. Therefore, if you ever see sometimes, you buy things nowadays, they just started like a year ago. And it comes with a tudah inside that says, Pater from Tzvila. From China, Pater from Tzvila's Kalim. How do they get a tudah Pater from Tzvila's Kalim in China? The answer is, they don't actually change physically how they manufacture it. They just change the chalos of how they manufacture it. What they do is, instead of the normal way of manufacturing in China, which is that the Jew subcontracts with the Chinese factory to produce something and sell it to him, instead, they tell the guy in the Chinese factory, I want to make a different deal. I'm going to pay you, I'll give you a little extra money. I'm going to buy all the raw materials before they build anything in the factory, and I'm going to hire the Chinese workers. The Chinese workers will work for me. Basically, the Jew makes a different deal. Instead of just contracting to the factory, the Jew goes to the factory and says, I want to make a special deal now. I'm not paying you for the product. I'm buying the raw materials from you, and I'm hiring the workers. And if the Jew owns the raw material, and the Jew hires the workers, then you can talk to them and see, look, the Jew is the whole time.
Isn't that a harama? You're not really...
Yeah, he is. Why is it more of a harama than Mr. Iskami? Okay, so you're but it's not really a harama.
Really helping it? Meaning, if it's something that's not like aluminum where people aren't going to be soldering, but something that people would be soldering, you're not necessarily helping a lot as opposed to being doing a harama.
So the question is it really a harama? We generally assume, I don't want to get into this now, because we're pressed for time, but not everything that you think of as a harama in sort of common sense English is what halacha calls harama. Generally, they're sort of right. That when I do a funny chalos, that's not a harama. A harama means when I say one thing and I really mean something else. Like I say I'm going to borrow it and give it back, I'm really not giving it back.
It's like having a meal without eating bread.
Yes. If I just arrange things in a funny kinyan, that's not called a harama because I really am buying the raw materials and I really am hiring the workers to work for me. I'm only doing it for halachic reasons, but I really am. And that's why they say that, you know, Mechiras Chametz is also maybe not a classic harama. I really am selling the chametz. I really want to sell the chametz to the guy. So that's a real harama. That's a real sale. Okay, so lemaisa, if you don't want to rely on it, you don't have to. But they usually do this with electric appliances that people are afraid to swallow anyway. You know, they don't do this with, stam drinking glasses and pots and pans that you could easily tovo. But it's a good etza. Because we don't paskin like the simple meaning of this kachmas adam. Okay, important to know. He quotes here. If you want to look up the Chalukas Binyamin, it says cut and pay hay, and he quotes here from the Yad Yosef and the Orach HaShulchan and the Igros Moshe and the Dark Yechuva. And it sounds like other people also, but you could look it up if you want. Okay, bye. Now we have a few complicated cases. Let's just go through them quickly. I'm not sure they'll come all the time. The in mitzvah that kesef shenasu yenu akli shel obey kochavim sarech tvila. If some of the raw materials are the guy, some of the raw materials and the labor are the guy, then it needs tvila. What does it need tvila mean with the bracha? Right? So if, here's case one. Here's case two. If some material belongs to a Jew, and some material and the labor, and again, we're talking about Uma labor, belongs to a guy, then says the Ramah, Chayav Bivadai, says the Taz, not true, this very long Taz, says not true. It's philosophic. Why? Because who cares if the guy owns some of the material? Who cares if the guy owns some of the materials? They say, if the guy owns some of the material, then he's ma'amid. Right? A kol holik achra ma'amid. The guy owns some of the material, he owns the ma'amid. Says the Taz, no. First of all, the guy, who says that the guy's percentage of material is ma'amid, and who says that we follow the ma'amid in... he helps us feel us Kalim. Remember, we said that we don't always follow the mom in his feel us Kalim. So he says it is a suffix. It's a suffix because the guy's labor is a machlokas risba versus Tosos and the Rush. And the fact that he's going on some of the material shouldn't really change anything because he doesn't own most of the material. What is the other side? So the Gra points out here that. Okay, he doesn't say so explicitly. Enachanami. One second. What's the svara of this? Of the Taz? The Taz says that the svara is the mitzvah matecha. Is just a suffix topic, it might not make a difference to the kli. If it might or might not make a difference to the kli, then you can't say that the goyish kli, only something goyish kli. However, what's the svara of the Ramah? The svara of the Ramah, the pasha svara of the Ramah, is based on the suffix over there. No. We talk about ma'amid or not. Remember the suffix, if you have a wooden barrel with metal ma'amid, whether we go after it, that's the method of materials. Over here, if the guy gives X percent of the metal, then the guy is X percent of an owner. With an ashvach, please. So it's very much it. Right? What's the svara? The svara is that the guy owns a clear shutfus in the kli. Don't look at it. The Taz made the wrong turn. He said, well, how important structurally is the guy's metal? We don't care how important structurally the guy's metal is. When you have a combination of metal and wood, we care how important each is structurally and what touches the food and all these other things. But when part of it's a guy, that's called shutfus. So the rule is, if you buy something from a shutfus, you're chayav to tovel. Therefore, the minhag nowadays is, the mainstream minhag nowadays, some people say, well, nowadays you never really know who owns anything, because you know the multinational corporation that says in the protocols of elders of Zion that the Jews control everything, and et cetera, et cetera. But the mainstream minhag is that we make a bracha on everything we tovel nowadays. Why do we make a bracha on everything we tovel? Who knows who really owns the materials and the labor? Isn't it all multinational corporations? The answer is yes. Every multinational corporation is a combination of Jews and Goyim. Okay, so the Chomshe said, no, the Jews really run the world and the Goyim are just by Bachel and Lefoto. That's not true. You know, with all due respect to the protocols of the elders of Zion, the Jews don't really run the world. They just own a share in the world, and so does everyone else. Okay, some people want a bigger share, some people want a smaller share, but who, you know, no one actually knows which corporation owns anything, because everything's owned by a corporation, owned by a corporation, owned by a corporation. But let's say in the end it's owned by who knows what corporation. So they have Jewish shareholders and Goyish shareholders. That's called shutfus of a Jew and a guy. When you buy something from shutfus of a Jew and a guy, you're chayav to tovel. That's not machlamaisa. That's why we tovel everything, even if we buy from a corporation, because it's not a corporation, it's shutfus Jew and guy. Every public corporation is shutfus Jew and guy. And min hasam, the Jews don't really own the whole thing.
Min hasam, it's something that's known. Like if it's like
B&H
or something that's known,
that's
owned by Jews, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because B&H doesn't manufacture, they buy it from another factory, right? But you're right. But I don't know how many factories there are that are mamash owned by Jews. Like Jewish families.
Well, they're made in Israel products.
So. Yeah, okay, but there are very few made in Israel products. There are very few made in Israel products. Made in Israel products, made in Hanavi. It's very patriotic, etc., and has a lot of advantages. But.
Even SodaStream is made by Arabs, no?
What?
Wouldn't SodaStream be made by Arabs?
Well, if there are employees, then it depends, as we pointed out before, who owned the corporation. But all these things are big multinationals. I don't know. Anyway, halacha l'maisa says the Ramah, don't look at structurally how much the guy owns and how much he doesn't. If it's a shutfus is like a guy, and therefore, when you buy from a shutfus, you have to total it with the Ramah. What? Right, so something like Yechoshes that a corporation doesn't exist at all. If it's not a violin, then you're not buying from a guy. I heard a rumor like that from a shefter. That's not the mainstream in a goal. In any area of halacha, we assume the mainstream norms assume the corporations have some bias. You know exactly who. There's a machlokas. Where Moshe said the little guy who is bottle of bottle is not considered a bias, and the Charega says no, even the little guy is considered a bias. But we normally assume corporations have bias. The only difference is Moshe Feinstein said the bias are only the big shareholders. And the Mechziah is going to say, no, the Bailam is every shareholder.
Then they get stuck with any shareholder, then everyone in the company is also a shareholder, and there's not
buying
shareholders.
No, because it's a shutfus. If you buy from a shutfus.
But we're assuming, then you have to use to make their money as the
product. Yes.
Okay.
We do. Okay, bye. Let's continue. Next case. The Chain Umi Yisrael Shah Saklila Ovechavu Kno Mimenu Yasi Lenu Gam Kain Below Bracha. Okay, next case is exactly the flip of three, the flip of one. What's the case? The material belongs to a guy, and the labor belongs to a Jew, and again, we're talking about a Jewish Uman here, right? If the labor belongs to a Jew, what happened? The Jew, the guy brought the Jew metal and said, make me a clean. The Jew made the clean and says, you know what? Can I buy this from you? All of a sudden, the Jew changed his mind and wanted to buy it for himself. The shoemaker decides to buy the shoes, as it were. Okay, so does he have to total it or not? Who owns this? Clee? So he says, Suffolk! Because it's a Suffolk, whether we go by Uman Konum Shvach Clee or not. Here we have a machlokes. The Gra disagrees with the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Suffolk. Says the Gra, no. Chaya Bivadai. Why is it Chaya Bivadai? Says the Gra. Gra says, because the guy is at least a shutup. The guy who owns the metal is at least a part owner, even if only the corner of the stock cleaves. The guy owns part of it, and that's a good fur, says the gruff. Guy owns at least part of the cleave, right? Even if you say, like, there is blood, you go by who owns it based on the corner of the stock cleaves. That means that you own part, but the guy owns part, and if the guy owns part, when you buy it from a shutup of different religions, then you have to total it. What's the svara of the Ramah? So later, Achronim explains. The svara of the Ramah, what's the svara of the Ramah then? How can he say this is a Jewish kli? Because the Jew, built it. How can he say it's a Jewish kli because the Jew built it? Didn't the guy also own it because he supplied the... He supplied the raw materials, so what's the suffix? So you have to say, so the Ramah, and we talk about the Ramah, that total without a bracha, the svara is that maybe the Jew owns the shvachli, right, the improvement, right? And the shvachli is mamid and holchin achar hamamid. Maybe there's all a maybe, not for sure. We just throw him up to something. Why did it stop? Because don't make a problem. Something. Why? Because maybe the Jew owns the improvement, but the improvement it was about to mamid it as a claim. Mamid gives it its structure. The Jew owns the structure. The guy owns the raw material, but the Jew owns the structure.
Right, but what Aristotle say, right? The guy owns the matter and the Jew owns the form, right? Would he not?
No. So the Jew owns the structure, and the structure is Mamid, and maybe by Tumba you go by Mamid, and maybe by Tzilas Kim you go by Mamid. That's a lot of maybes, but it's enough of the maybes to make the stuff in total without a bracha. Okay, last case. Last case is the opposite. Well, there are two last cases. Let's continue. Avol him also la'asmer shakana matchos mina oven kochavim. Dot. Ein tzarich tefila. This is an easy case. Case four. If the materials belong to a Jew who bought the raw materials from a guy, and the labor also belongs to a Jew, the Jew made it. He just bought the metal from a guy. He bought sheet metal from a guy and made something with it. Man, it's totally Jewish. He bought the raw materials and he made it. I don't care who used to own the raw materials. By the time it becomes a kli, it's all Jewish. Right? This is Pashut. I think this is Pashut. 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 Because when it became a kli, it was 100% Jewish. Right? By the time it became a kli, the material and the labor belonged to a Jew. He just bought the materials from a goyish supplier. Okay, the more controversial part is the ellipsis that I skipped. Ocean nasan mixas machos. It definitely sounds like the case is the opposite of two. What does that mean? Material, the guy gave some material. Some material came from the guy, right? And some material and the labor came from the Jew. That's what it sounds like the Ramah is saying, right? The Jew made it, and the Jew gave part of the metal, and the guy gave part of the metal. Set your posher leg, I'm Ray Payne, starter, tibula, says the Rabbok.
Okay, this is controversial. Why is this controversial? Because the guy on some of the materials shouldn't it be at least shifts of a guy? And remember, when you buy from shifts of a guy, you're putter. Let's remember this ground rule, right? If it's a shutbus, Yisrael be'akum, and then a Jew buys it, sorry, then you're tight. So ask some of the Mepharshim. Some of the Mepharshim ask, they say, this doesn't make any sense. How could the Rambam say you're potter if the one parcel is to the guy? The guy owns part of the materials. If the one parcel is to the Jew, he owns some of the materials. And it belongs two shares to the Jew, because he also owns the labor. But it does belong partially to the guy. So here it's a little strange. The shot of the Rambam says potter. But they ask on the Rambam, why do you potter? It belongs partially to the guy, and then when you buy it, you're buying from a shofar that belongs partially to a guy. So, the first answer of the Shach and the Taz reinterpret or rewrite this Rambam. So it says the Taz, was by Gian Rambam, he said, this part about it belonging the metal partially to a guy really belongs earlier when he said something. He said Safek. Okay, now it makes sense. Safek, the labor's Jewish, maybe the mom is the Jews. Or maybe since part of the Jew is a guy, it's a Safek. This is what the Sarah is very easy. It's just like case three. Just like case three. The Shach in his first answer Deya Aleph, both say no, this is a suffix, it's like he's three. The fact that the Jew and the guy put the material is no different than the guy is all the material. Because if the guy owns parts, that's considered ownership of the guy. What do they do, Rambam? The Taz says, Rambam really meant to say suffix. The Shach says, Rambam means it's a suffix. Here he's talking about something else. Right? So either the Rambam said suffix, or what the Shach was verse says, the Rambam was talking about a different case. What different case is Rambam talking about here? Says the Shach's first answer. He was talking about a case where some of the material is a guide and you never buy from him. You leave it to Shachbos. If it's still Shachbos, you're higher. Because then you only borrow it from a guide. When you borrow a guide, you're higher. Okay, what's the far as Rambam? Although that the Shach says in his second opinion. In his second opinion, the Shach says that what's the Svara? He agrees with Rambam. This Shach day effect. And what's the Svara? The Svara is that ain shame hagoy alav, says the Shach. You know what? If the Jew did the work and the Jew gave part of the materials and the guy only gave part of the materials, the name of the guy is not called on it. It's not called the guy. Because his connection is too weak. It's not called his. If it's not called his, it's not like the case of the Torah and your potter. No, but that's because the Jew, the guy supplied a full half. He supplied all the labor. But over here, the guy didn't even supply a full half. He didn't supply all the labor or all the material.
Yeah, the word is because of the ancient Leilach. The reason that they would be cutter is because the ancient Leilach and their husband accept that.
No, the Shach is saying that Karma does accept it. He just doesn't accept it in that case.
Okay.
How about the Maitha, we Paskin, we're not from a Suffolk Brachos. We Paskin, there would be a Suffolk in this case, and therefore you total without a Brachos. Okay, we say that all the time, I'm not sure. So if there's other questions, we'll move on.
Assuming that the material labor is only for the stuff that we did for we, as in like the Bernardi and like, I don't know.
Correct. I assume the part that's not doesn't count.
And then how about like leaving or something where like you can technically eel?
That's a fascinating question. That's a fascinating deal in the postgim. A lot of postgim are machmir that it, only what's absolutely necessary counts, not what just enhances it. So if you're only glazing, it might not help because you still use it.
Yeah.
The question is, what if no one would use it? Okay, then it's not clear. So I'll leave that unclear.
If you're right, but that's what touches the food, would that make a difference?
Interesting. I'm not sure. Sorry. Okay, get out. Yisrael shemachar klila after b'chaz v'loch ha'li menin tzarek klila. If a Jew sells it to you a guardian by his back, he needs to total it. Even though he was Jewish originally, he became Jewish. Now he's Jewish again, he needs to total it for his wife. As the Jew will point out, what should one not do? This is like a rookie mistake. What should one not do at Pesach time? Sell your kelim to a guy. Because if you sell your kelim to a guy and if you're coming, then when you buy them back after Pesach, you need to total them. So that's why, in sort of, you know, standard, by now I'm assuming, I've never been a rabbi in young Israel of, you know, in the middle of nowhere someplace. But I assume that even nowadays, the rabbis, even in the young Israel and Ashkash, they probably get like a standard Mechir Tumit form from National Council of Young Israel or something, and they don't decide how to do it themselves. So nowadays, if you look at the standard Mechir Tumit forms of any Rabbanut here or the standard ones in America, I assume maybe there's some rabbis we can mess up. But nowadays, I assume there's standard forms floating around in the rabbinic world. Standard forms all say, we are selling the Bli of Chayes in our Kelim to the Goyim, but not the Kelim. That's what it says. Standard says, and all the Bleos in the Kelim are selling to the Goyim, but we're not selling the Kelim themselves. Why do they say you're not selling the Kelim themselves? In order to avoid requiring Tfilos Kelim. The truth is, you don't even need to sell the Bli of Chayes in Kelim to the Goyim. There's no way to survive your life unless you have Bleos over Pesach. So you don't sell anything to a guy. For some reason, Al-Khamras, they put in the stars everywhere, we're selling our own Bleos to a guy. Not sure how much sense that makes.
Why aren't you
buying Bleos device?
What? Why aren't you hiring on
I'm buying your own buying one thing for Bleos? it could be because it's not really the end, or it could be it's not called new, probably it's not called Mitzah, if you can't like actually touch it. And it's pretty mocha from the Gemara that there's no problem. Meaning, in the days of the Gemara, there's no Mechir Chametz yet. And they said, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, which we hold, that Tarnash Avrilo Pesach is not possible to raise up, it's only Knas for violating God really Mothic, then you can keep your Kelim over Pesach. So the Gemara says you can keep your Kelim over Pesach with the Bleos. Okay, for some reason we have a ridiculous Chumra to sell the Bleos to a guy anyway. It's okay, as long as you only sell the Bleos, it's a harmless Chumra. But if you sell the king, you're in trouble. Now, while the mission of Yod, the Chazar, is only men, ain't no turf to be left. If you pawn it to a guy and then go back and buy it back from him, then you do not need to total it. If you only pawned it to a guy, then you don't need to total it. There's a big machlokas. Achron mentioned in the Shach here. What if you originally intended to give it, leave it there forever? You go to the guy's pawn shop and you say, okay, here's my silver kiddush cup, and you think you're never going to redeem it. And then you change your mind and buy it back. So then, that's my quote, that's going with the piece of tefillah, and the Shach quotes here from the Maharshal that you do need tefillah, others. Others argue. So we call that a suffix. But Lemaisa, what's interesting though is in a Stam case where a Jew is mashking to where a Goy is mashking to a Jew and says test, we said total it without a bracha. Suffix. If a Jew is mashking to a Goy, you don't need to total it. Why not? So it could be the reason is, I'll give you one reason. The Gra here suggests that, anyone remember, maybe you learned in one of the sessions in Yeshiva about Baal Chov Kona Mashko, and that's Sugya? The hard Sugya, right? What does it say? Yeah, a Jew is Kona Mashko of a Goy, but a Goy is not Kona Mashko of a Jew. That makes sense. A Jew is Kona Mashko of a Goy, so therefore, if the Goy gives you a Mashko, maybe that's a total, maybe you're going to. But
but a guy method must be legit. So if you pawn by a guy and then you redeem it, you don't need to toll. Okay. I'm looking like you don't need to toll. Right. Yisrael Bavon comes to currently the Shofas in Tzarek Vila. Okay, this is very important not to make mistakes about this. As the Shach went down to Chabad. If, let's review two cases. If it's currently Bailus Goy, and it's you borrow, then you're Pater. We know that, right? Likewise, that's what the Rambam is. If it's currently Shutfus Yisrael Ba'akum, then you're Pater. A Shutfus counts as a Goy. So if it's right now owned by a Shutfus, you're Pater. So for example, let's say you have a business. Shutfus of Jews and Goyim in the business. Taka, I have a relative. I actually bought a business. And it's a shitload of Jews and Goyim. You know, the Jews own this much, the Goyim own that much. You know, Goyim own a decent amount. So, right now, the shitload of Jews and Goyim, there's no chiyuv. The only chiyuv when the Jew buys it from the Goyim, but ill the Goyim, there's no chiyuv. That's called borrowing from a Goyim. So, therefore, there's no chiyuv tefilas kelim because it's still a Goyim. However, says the Shach, it was, at that case, Shutfus Goy be Yisrael. Vikinao Yisrael, but you buy this from a Shutfus, then you're Bavei Chayim. So if it's still Shutfus, you're Potter. Because still Shutfus is still Goyish. Goyish came our Potter, only when a Jew buys from the Chayim. So if a Jew buys from a Shutfus, then he is Chayim. And that's why, the minute is, if a Jew buys from a corporation nowadays, since we assume corporations are treated like shutfas, and they all have Jewish and British owners, except for some small mom and pop businesses, but all the big corporations have Jewish and British owners, and the might of the big corporations have Jewish and British serious owners also, right? The son of every big corporation has Jews who own a serious amount, and not even own a serious amount. So even according to Rosh Hashanah, who says you're only considered an owner if you own a significant amount, all big corporations are shutfas of Jews and Goyim. There is a significant Jewish stake and a significant Goyish stake. And therefore, if you buy from a corporation, the minute it's a total with a bracha, because you bought from a shutfas of Jew and Goyim. But if it still belongs to the corporation, you are potter. So for example, if I work for Ernst & Young, right? I work for Ernst & Young, that's an accounting firm. Who owns Ernst & Young? That's not a shutfas of Jews and Goyim, right? So therefore, if I work for Ernst & Young and they have kebab in the kitchen, I'm not talking about whether they're trade for kosher. You know, let's say they have glasses that I drink cold drinks from, right? Or they have a brand new metal pot that they just bought, brand new for the corporation, for this barbecue, whatever. I don't have to double it, because it currently belongs to shutfas of Jews and Goyim.
And the father
understands
that he shut the store, because the store wanted
I never heard this record from him. You have to try to clarify. I'm still speculating about something that I heard firsthand.
I heard it.
You heard it firsthand, so you shouldn't feel silly. So tell me about it.
There's no bios.
Or if Chef is master, maybe a corporation is not a bios at all. So what happened? A corporation made it in the factory. They sold it to a corporation as a wholesaler, who sold it to a corporation as a retailer, who sold it to you. So if you bought it from no bailus or chef is master, if a corporation is no bailus, then it was never owned by a guy, so you're pucker. So therefore, we stop saying he's totally without a bracha. They say that in the name of the Chagadish also. Not that you thought you should do it on Midos, but that theoretically, you could walk into IBM and take whatever you want, not general, because corporations are ownerless. No, I mean, it's just like, it's very hard from a common sense perspective to believe that corporations are ownerless. All right, no. So some people are machmer, maybe corporations are ownerless, so it was never owned by anyone. There's no chiyuv kelim when you buy it. But in Echnami, he would have to admit, if you buy from a mom and pop store, then a goyish mom and pop store, then you told with a bracha. Because at one point, it's owned by a guy. But most people buy things from big stores. And big stores, you assume, are corporations. And it's an interesting question, how far would it go? Like, you know, would someone say LLC is also on the list? You know, how far do you go? You know? Okay, sorry again. That's not my problem.
It's not the meaning like what they did. Like in theory, if they're dealing.
Yeah, and Ribbit. Those would be enough for Ribbit, right? Is there a problem with Ribbit for corporations? Shuts is a Jew and Goyim us from Ribbit. So then you have Ribbit for corporations. Corporations don't exist. than the Campinas or Rivers Canada.
Okay, but the mainstream halakha is that corporations are surplus. Again, the only the two mainstream opinions are Moshe Feinstein. Corporations are shutfus between all the serious owners, but all the little guys are just investors, not real owners. And the Minchas Yitzchak and Eid HaRedes, that it's a shutfus of all million people who bought into it. But everyone agrees that the mainstream rather than the shutfus.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
For who? No, that never leads to a chuba. That leads to a lot of chuba. Not in Pilas Kalim. In Pilas Kalim, they say if you buy from a corporation, you total it, right? So you bought from a shuffles. What are all the chubas that you have for are for anything else? For example, Chavitan Pesach. What if I own 100 shares of, you know, of Kraft or whatever, General Foods, whatever, General, whatever it is. I don't know what these corporations are called. I own 100 shares of Kellogg's. Where Moshe Feinstein would say it's not a problem on Pesach, I'm not a real owner. Only the real owners are owners. And the authorities would say, no, it's a violation by real life law because you own Kellogg's on Pesach. Or even more so, am I allowed to invest in any Israeli stocks? Or McDonald's? Where Moshe would say, am I allowed to invest in Israeli stocks? The Israeli pockets, you cannot invest in a stock market in Israel. Why? Because then you're an owner. If you're an owner, the company does Kol Shabbos. And therefore, they're doing Kol Shabbos for you, and it's also a sense of what to do Kol Shabbos. Moshe Feinstein says, of course you can invest in the Israeli stock market. If you buy 100 shares of Teva Pharmaceuticals, you're not an owner. You're just an investor. Only the big partners are owners. Okay, what's the big partners do? The big partners should only invest in places where they can stop the Kol Shabbos. Okay, but, you know, how about we should worry about that. When we're on that, Madriga, then we'll let China have investor money. Meanwhile, we're probably small enough. Okay, very important. Very good. Yisrael said, God go and God's name of Caleb and steal them. If they stole your Caleb and give it back, what if a guy stole your Caleb and if a Jew steals your Caleb, it doesn't make a difference, right? What if a guy steals your Caleb and gives it back? Answer, you don't have to total it. Why? Because the thief isn't really an owner. He's just a thief. Therefore, it was never really going to I will sorrow Moshe Shalom Yisrael Vlach and Caleb and zero loaves or some speed laws. Stop getting them. That's a thief. If a goyish thief steals your camel, that's not ownership. You don't have to total it when he gives it back. But if a goyish government official steals your camel, okay, I don't think they do that in America, but back in Europe, right? You have fancy silver, okay, the goyish lord comes and steals your silver because he's the government, he can do what he wants. Then, even if somebody gives it back, now you have to total it because it really was like sunk in his hands, it was really his. What's the technical difference between a thief and a Sar or a Moshe? The Shas brings two opinions. One opinion is Yeush, meaning why is a thief not an owner, but a government thief is an owner? A private thief is not an owner, but a government thief is an owner. So one says Yeush. Criminal thief, I don't have Yeush, so he's not the owner. But then the government steals that I have Yeush, so he's the owner. The second opinion the Shas brings down is no. It's whether it's Mikra Shmololov. A criminal thief can't show off what he stole. Therefore, it's not called his. But a government thief can show off what they stole. They can show it off in public and brag in public. Therefore, it's considered their name called on it. Either way, he's supporting the stock of the Rambam. Okay, good thing. Start the hot little Yudea cleat. You have to total the whole cleat, even the handle. Even though the handle is not the ikar of the cleat, since it's part of the cleat, you have to total the whole thing. Do you have to go so far as to total the cord of the electric appliance? Right? So that is a machlokas, the simple shot is to do, because it's all one cleave, like the handle. However, Moshe Feinstein says you don't, because they're Moshe Feinstein, never gave it a finish, that you can call it two separate cables, not a handle. A handle you can't call two separate cables, but the electric cord you can call a separate cleave. That's where Moshe Feinstein's finish. And therefore, many posts from Armeco, including my regular Willie, that you don't have to toll on Barry Miller, I asked him one, you don't have to toll the cord based on Moshe, that an electric cord is less than a handle. It's really a separate functionality. Hey, look, really, look, on TV, I don't see how it would hurt to be Machmer and total the cord. You know, if someone asked me, I would say, what if it hurts to total the cord? And be Machmer, that maybe the cord is part of the same thing, but there's certainly, significant authority to be made. You're given. Sorry, Mahavir Chabutukon Mufila. Anyone here who learns Chosnita knows this stuff inside out. You have to scratch off the rust before you total it. Why? What's the halachic word for it?
It's
a chatzitza. Right, you can't total something with chatzitza because it blocks the water. Being heavier, being low heavier. What if you... Now, rust is not such a big deal. What's the big deal for us all the time?
Stickers.
In makar l'chotzeis, if your makar is chotzeis, what's the rule? The rule is, without getting into it, there's actually a whole simon. After Hilchos Nida, right after Hilchos Nida, there's a whole simon, the Yoredei Reish Beis, about halachos of chatzitza by kelim. You know, they sort of stick in Hilchos Tevila and only have a small reference in halachos.
Shouldn't even be here, right?
In my old-fashioned Shulchan Aruch, right? I'll show you on that line too. Reish Beis, Dinei Dvarim, Hachotzitzin, B'Tzvilas Kelim. Okay. Anyway, what the principle? The principle is that a chatzitza that your makbid is chotzeis. Makbid means you don't want it there. That's the principle. Without getting into the rest of the Rabbanan, halacha l'maisa, what's the rule of chatzitza? Makbid is chotzeis. Eino makbid is eino chotzeis. Okay. There is machlokas what the svar is, but the simple svar makes sense. If it's something you don't want there, you can't say it's like part of the kli and bustles of the kli. You don't want it there. And therefore, it's chotzeis. If it's something that you don't mind being there and you want it there, then like it's just part of the kli. Even if it's not functional, if you want it there, it's part of the kli. And therefore, it's not chotzeis, it's just part of the kli. Okay, that's one svara. Now, where did this come up? This comes up. And, well, let's just do two examples. I'll take questions. The shift shape and husband color. What if you scrubbed off the rust and you even burned it off with coals? And this is your and there's a little rust left that you couldn't get rid of. Having the uto shape and the it is a minority, they're not macro, they ain't no home things, and it's okay. Okay, the rule is technically it's only true on a meal. It's a minority, at least. Most not pieces of the minority, at least. Right? If it's on rove of the kli, then it's always chotzeis. Okay, if it's on minority of the kli. So, what does he say? If you scrub it the best you can, and this happens to me all the time, someone says, oh, I forgot to total on my barbecue grill, and I already grilled it and it's dirty. Now I can't total it. Someone just told that to me last week. Say, yes, you can total it. You scrub it the best you can, and what's left is a chotzeis that you're not knocking on. You don't mind. Right? Does anyone mind your barbecue grill? People mind, but filthy with stuff they should have scratched off. You're supposed to try to clean it more or less. But if it has a little dirt that doesn't come off, no one minds. That's normal. And that's exactly what Shulchan Aruch is saying. Ain't no matter if there's normal dirt that doesn't come, dirt that doesn't come off, no one minds. And therefore, that's not a chatzitza. Another is let me just think. A classic example. Nowadays, only the stickers, right? When you buy things, they usually have stickers on them, and some of the stickers are Yoredei friendly. They peel over easily. Some of the stickers are nice and subtle, and it's impossible to get them off. And then even if you get them off, you still have the adhesive there. Okay, so you should take off the stickers where you told them. Lechatzila is best to avoid shilas. That seems clear. Lechatzila should avoid shilas. But let's say you already told them, or you're stuck. If you're stuck, or either vidyevet or you're stuck, then is it a problem or not? The answer is depends on what kind of sticker. If the sticker people mind, then it's just puzzled. It's not totaled. If the sticker people mind, you have to go back and total again with a bracha. It's just ma'ake. But if the sticker people don't mind, then it's not ma'ake. It's better to take it off. But let's say I already totaled it and then found the sticker that nobody minds. Then it's fine, I have to total it again. Well, let's say I'm at the mikvah and I don't have any whatever and I need to total it in a rush and have a sticker nobody minds, I'll total it with a sticker nobody minds. And well, I'll rely on the din that miyosh, ain't a makvid, is not chotzeis. What stickers of you will mind, what stickers of you will not mind? So I don't know, we have to make a judgment call. Generally, we assume stickers on glass items people mind. Stickers on the visible part of kelim people mind. No Baal Vasta wants a sticker in her thing. Stickers on the bottom of plate, anything that's not transparent, right? Stickers on the bottom of a plate, I don't think anyone minds a sticker on the bottom of a plate. Well, I don't care if it's on the bottom of a plate, you can't see it, right? So I think as a general rule of thumb, a sticker where it can't be seen, most people don't mind. And therefore, the tefillah would be valid, and you know, it would be better to remove it, but not absolutely necessary. Right? Not so great. However, a sticker where it's visible, I think most people mind. and therefore it would be ma'akev the tefila. Obviously, in real life cases, you have to make a judgment call, and sometimes not call it a stuff they can totally get without a bracha. In many cases, I told people, oh, you found this sticker, if you told this, totally get without a bracha. I'm not sure if people would mind the sticker or not. Okay, you have to try to use your judgment. Of course, stickers with instructions on them are a different story. Those are a functional part of the plea. Of course, you should leave those on.
I'm doing the stuff. What about the sticker that says you're not allowed to tell it? You ever notice a lot of things come with stickers, do not immerse in water?
No.
So, what about the sticker that says, so should I leave that on? It's an important instruction? Or should I say, obviously, actually for me, that's not an important instruction? So, I don't know, I'm always not fair at that. The stickers that say other instructions I leave on. So the sticker that says do not immerse in water, I always take off. So I'm like, okay, like, I don't really want a sticker that says do not immerse in water while I'm immersing it in water. It's low my ankle, so I always take it off.
No, it's funny.
You know, I'm not such a fun guy.
By the way, I'm
going to remind
the
Kobra
that
he
Lechatchila.
Yeah, so saying, so then, meaning given that sticky, wouldn't it say that you should try your best to really get it off?
Yeah, Lechatchila. First of all, it's not so clear. Just to remark that Amido's Mr. Curry.
Yeah.
But it sounds, what? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Meaning, it's true. Anyway, even if he didn't, that is the relevant civic, right? So obviously we're supposed to be an eye in there. So it's not so mafurish there. I admit. It's not so mafurish there, but the he quotes here from the Chochmas Adam that lechatchila, that's why I only said to be up the Shatakach. Right, okay, I'll put it on. Lechatchila yesh lehatziro, but the eved, oh, the Shas HaTzorech ain't no Chotzeis. Okay, Lechatchila will get rid of all Chatzeis. Again, not the useful instruction. Those are not any Chatzeis, that's function, right? You don't have to take off things that are functional. But non-functional, like worthless stickers, Lechatchila remove them all. Or dirt, Lechatchila remove them all. Be the evidence of the Shas HaTzorech, then if it's Machbid, you're dead. And if it ain't a Machbid, it's fine. Okay, any other questions about Chatzeis?
Yes. Even his robe, not musk, and I understand how that there could be such a din by a body because it's subjective what's defined as part of the kli or not. But like by a kli, you can just kind of know it's like a glaze, the sticker on top.
No, if robe of it is covered with, I don't know, you spilled, I don't know. My daughter actually did this. Something in my house that's full of yellow gook that won't come off, but I don't know what it is. If you just spill gook on roast, it clearly it's not part of the clean.
But why? Like, meaning, say, in our days, we're like cleanly manufactured kalim, like factory, like you have such sensibility, but back then they weren't all like this, it's like this.
No, it's not
they
true.
Looked like.
Not true.
In Shulchan by the Rav, he's saying that, like, if you can't take it off, then it's by definition called not master.
Yes.
Does it walk? Why is it? Meaning, what I am. Even I just. Is there ever
no, the answer is this. Machbid doesn't mean whether you're happy or sad. Machbid means whether you would want to remove it. If you can't remove it, then by definition, you don't want to remove it.
Uh-huh.
That's the half.
So there's never a case in which it's actually going to be ma'akev the tefila if you really try to get it off.
Correct. If you try your hardest to get it off, it'll never be ma'akev because by definition, one can't come off, you're not ma'akev.
And how hard do you have to try? I mean, like, do I have to like create a potion that will
It's a good question because one of the things I've learned about cleaning. Since I got married, is that, you know, we naively think that, sort of a lusser in us thinks that, well, it's just a matter of how hard you work. That's how clean it gets. But, in this case, you shouldn't listen to the lusser in us. You should listen to the yeshiva she fellow in us. Says, no, it's how smart you clean. I found that both things, it's better at how hard you work. If you have the right cleaning material, it comes off the kalei kavos. If you don't have the right cleaning material, it's impossible. It's like most stickers, it's like, it's impossible unless you have like goo gone. And then it comes off in 10 seconds. So in those cases, that's why it's like, you know, you have to use your judgment, because a lot of things just depend what you use. So the mic says you have to really try all reasonable means before you say that thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
What's reasonable?
obviously sometimes the eye is beholder, and some people just aren't visible at all.
Why did it go by most people and not the personal?
That, okay, that's a big, in Machlokas Rishonim, in Hilchos Mida, does it go by most people or does it go by the person? And Hilchos Mida were actually not, they're both ways we saw it. But, you know, it seems to be the more mainstream day as most people, but...
It'd be very easy if it's just personal, if it's just any sticker, like, and I say to myself, I don't plan to take this off.
Exactly, so that's why I would not comfortable to be made that way, because there's too many Rishonim and Hilchos Mida to say otherwise. I don't know if these, did they say anything? He's also machmer both ways here. Okay. Here it is. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Reish Beis says we should be machmer both ways. Siman Reish Beis is the scale. Remember? Reish Beis. Reish Beis, right? So the bright gas for Hilchos Mida?
No.
Chatzitzan Kalem?
No. Reish Beis is
Hilchos Mida. Chatzitzan Kalem. After Hilchos Mida, the Mida is Reish Beis versus Chatzitzan Kalem. It might fit probably not that one. Didn't I turn this page?
Yeah, I did.
And you're calling me a liar? It's not very respectful. Rich days, we make burn hachotzitzim, this is vilach keva. Okay, fine. Yeah.
It's also like a cast iron, where it's like supposed to get somewhat dirty.
Not supposed to get dirty, it's supposed to get seasoned by absorbing oil. Yeah, not
but
supposed to have
cast iron. So like a new cast iron and an old cast iron is going to look different because there's going to be...
Yeah, but it's not pieces, it's not supposed to have pieces on it.
So you can like the kind of grime oil stuff?
So it could be the grime and oil stuff is a functional part of it, and then that's not a problem.
Even though that's like in any other cli, it would
no, but that cli is that cli, not that cli.
In terms of just defining a kapana, so let's say people are not maskid, I'm not maskid either, but a family member is maskid.
I think if most people aren't maskid and the owner's not maskid, then a family member can go jump in the lake.
Physically.
But the family member can avoid jumping in a lake.
Correct.
Can go jump in a swimming pool. Then a family member can go jump in a swimming pool full of my children. Okay. Thank you for correcting my lack of precision. You're done. And I mean in Qatar, I'll see what's Caitlin. We don't trust a Qatar as a total Caitlin. Why don't we trust a Qatar as a total Caitlin? Our Qatar's not trustworthy in Halacha. Cottons not trustworthy in halacha. Cottons are sometimes trustworthy in halacha. So the answer is, remember I mentioned once the Ramban al Torah who suggests that maybe Shulchan Aruch Masna has really been drabbanan. Explained that Osei Kalim, this is the sifra Shulchan Aruch we're passing against him, as the Tan says in Tes Zayin, but he should feel as Kalim to Oraisa. You don't trust the Kalim to Oraisa. The Kalim is known as they have any certain Oraisa. In drabbanan, the Mishnah said that they trust the Kalim. Nam of the Kassim to say, Adhichon Kun Shabbos, and etc., etc. But in the Oraisas, a Kassim has no Nemanis. Since Tzvilas Kalim is the Oraisa, a Kassim has no Nemanis. And this is a formal thing. It's not a matter of whether you think he's trustworthy or not. Meaning, I have a 12-year-old, an 11-month, and a 29-day-old son, or an 11-year-old, and 11-month, and 29-day-old daughter. And they are the biggest tzaddik and balmidos and masmen and yerushimayim in the world. But it doesn't matter. I can't tell them, here, go take the pot and total it. Because when they come back and say, I totaled it, I'm not allowed to believe them. Because they have no nemanus when it comes to deoraisas. And therefore, I can't believe them. You can't send your little kid on a mission to total Kalim. And in fact, yeah, according to Wright, that in the Pitzvah Tshuva here, even if the kid is 13 or the boy is 13 and the girl is 12, you can't send them to total Kalim. Why? Because to be a gadol halachli, is it enough to be the right number of years old? What else do you need? So how come we never check for saros? The answer is, because for drabbanans, we assume if they're that old, they have state saros. And most things are drabbanan, like we let the boy lean, that's only drabbanan. But here's a great example. Parsha Zohar, we never let the Bar Mitzvah have Parsha Zohar. Why? Because that's the Reisa. And it's not, you know, I think you get arrested nowadays, so now I check for Shabbat Saros. So therefore, and also, it's like, well, even the old days, it was Lomaim. You know, and also, even maybe once I was in the chat, and it's blown it in for everyone to find out what the answer was, right? So, Lamaisa, what do we do? Bar mitzvah is a lane, that's Rabbanan. So, we assume he has Shei Saros. But, you can't lean Parsha Zohar, because that's the Oraisa, and we don't know if he has Shei Saros or not. For example, Maisa Shahada, one of my kids is Bar mitzvah, I forget which. He said, could he make Kiddush Friday night? We had a family Shabbos, and we rented a room and had meals for all the family members. Could he make the Kiddush Friday night for everyone? Good question, right? So I said, no, because it's Rabbanan to make Kiddush for all the men in the room and the very stark women in the room, because they went to Shulam Dab and Ma'ariv, and now it's only Rabbanan to see another Kiddush on the coast. But some of the people in the room didn't go to Ma'ariv. So they, some of the people in the room didn't go to Ma'ariv. And for them, it's a chiyuv d'oraisa to hear Kiddush. How can you know chiyuv d'oraisa? You can check the Mishnei Saros.
You have to get a
Mishnei Saros? What?
You have to get a Mishnei Saros?
No, because it's a pathology, right? If it becomes it, it's not now. So Lamaisa, I said, you know what? You can make Kiddush Shabbos morning for everyone. Shabbos morning, for Rabbanan, the Kahava. You make Kiddush Shabbos morning, and everyone lives happily ever after. What?
When does that change?
It changes when you start growing the beard. Because if he grows a beard, then for sure he has Shei Saros in his private parts, because the beard comes later. So, when you have a beard, you don't have to grow a beard, you shave. When you either grow a beard or shave a beard, then that changes. When is that? I don't know, whatever it is. You can have a kid talk who might be 14 or 15, and he's very underdeveloped, and talk doesn't need to shave his beard, and then you can't trust him to be a gobble for the rises. What?
There's
a
night this year in the basement.
Okay, it depends if you're hosting parts of the race or not. I'm not getting into it. Many yeshivas would be very much around these things. So I don't know what we did.
You have to be in
the big hit. Okay.
The truth is, even if he's just a David Bar Mitzvah, if he grows a beard, then it's okay.
Why do you Google Pinkerts for one black?
That is a fascinating question. Would we be machmir about painting the tefillin black? So I'm not going to pass it offhand, but I would say there's two significant studs in Lahakil here. Number one, the main thought of Lahakil is that it's really a chumrah to paint the bottom black. The ritus. What about painting the ritus black? Meaning, can a 13-year-old paint the ritus? I don't know. Not sure. What? Even his own ritus be a problem because he's going to wear them when he gets older. I mean, today it's no problem to be much. He puzzled for it, so he puzzled. But it could be a problem. Anyway, I'm not sure. To paint the ritus, I'm not sure.
Is there ever a time where you would say he needs to be bar mitzvah, but you would be mamming that he has Shei Saros?
No.
No?
Except for drawings. Uh-huh. So I don't know. It's sorry about painting the film in black. The question, I'm not sure. The question is how many for did is it that. If you can be a Shema, because the Shema maybe double the Malgavim is good enough. If it's more than that, I'm not sure. The answer is I'm not sure. Certainly. Usually the film comes black from the factory, the scraps. So it's usually not a big deal. And even though we always repaint them all the time, usually when we repaint them, they're mostly black. We're just repainting a few spots, and that's not necessary to be accurate in. So I wouldn't worry about it. But it's not that good. Especially while working in the film factory, painting it black, or for some strange reason, your whole film became brown.
The whole film, that's what we're finishing?
No, as long as you have a strip of black going all the way down, then that's probably okay to be done. The strip has to be maybe a barley seed long. I'm saying I won't worry about it in practical cases that come up nowadays. In home settings nowadays, I wouldn't worry about it. It's very unlikely that it was a real Ikra didn't meet. Okay, Mike. Now, here's the question though. What about the Rabbanan Tfilas Kalim? What's the Rabbanan Tfilas Kalim? Glass. I can't send my kid with a metal pot, and I send my kid with a glass. Right? And I'm talking about the little kids in a break the glass. Right? Let's say a 12-year-old boy or an 11-year-old girl, and I send them with glass. This is a tremendous machlokes. You look at the Pitchin Chuba here, he says, I am going to go in Sarif Ion. If you look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, he said, start the rifle, be zener in the second, if it cleaves the chuch and mamina lakatan. And that's what the Shagas Aryeh says. But, not so posture. Here we have three opinions. Here we have three opinions about a nemanus of a katan when it comes to when it comes to glass. What are the three opinions?
Who can get the board?
One opinion is the first day in the Rebbe Yehuda Eiger, you believe a katan on glass because your rabbanan is your mom in a katan. But there are two other opinions. And Agav, the Mishnah Brura seems to agree that it's mutter. The Mishnah Brura never passes this, but the Mishnah Brura passes a similar case. If the Dika comes to Rabbana, and let's say it's that the Dika is only Rabbana, I can believe a custom that he did the Dika, it's only Rabbana. Exactly. So, what are the three opinions when it comes to a custom of the Kli Zechuchet? Nemanus Katan.
Is that we believe him, or is that it's just since it's not as subtler than even if he didn't do it or not, being as not?
I think that's the same thing, different words. I mean, you can make a super long discussion here. When the Rabbana believes Ketanim and the Rabbanan, is it that there were goes there that once the Ketan says it, it's automatically mutter because they are rulers of the Rabbanan, the Zadayim, or there are just goes that don't believe in the suffix? Okay, but I'm not getting into that long discussion now. Anyway, first opinion is he's not one. However, Rabbi Kiva Eger questions it. He quotes a Tosfos in Eruvin.
Who holds the first
one? The Mishnah Brura really seems about that way, but I'll come back in a second. According to Tosfos in Eruvin, a katan is only, they only believe the katan about his own things, not about someone else's things. So he's being nabbed on his own glasses, but not on your glasses. So,
Rabbi Kiva Eger, Alpi Tosfos Eruvin, on Kalin Shelow, he's Neman. But on Kalin Shel Acherim, he's not Neman, which means you can't send a kid to Tobo glasses that belong to you, because Rabban only believes in about his own business, not to be shliach for someone else's business. It's a limited answer. And in the Bifli Tshuva, he quotes from the Prima Gaddin, who says, Machna for a different reason. Ain't no Naaman because of Chezkas Yisr. No, the only thing that comes to Rabban is there's no Chezkas Yisr. There's Chezkas Yisr, we don't believe here. There's a Chezkas Yisr. It didn't used to be told. It seems from the Mishnah Brura in Simon Toslam at Zion, so cutting your Zion, that he holds like the first opinion.
So what does Mishnah Brura say about the Dikas Chameis? If you look at the Mishnah Brura of the Dikas Chameis, what does he say? He says, a bias that was not nivna, and a katan says he was bodek, you believe him. So he says, even if, it doesn't say it's in their house, even if it's not their house, you believe him. And says to Mishnah Brura, afilo hayisham badai chamei, even if you know there is to be chamei, then it's less necessary. So the Mishnah Brura seems to hold. I know he's not talking about afilo chamei, but he's talking now the main study of this, which all comes from Dika Chamei, or much of it. He thinks, oh, even if it's not their house, and even if it's less necessary, you still believe the chamei. Okay, halach l'maitza, since it's a machlokes, it's better not to send a katan unless you're stuck. You can be Eko, Mishnah Brura is Eko. If you're stuck, it's better to just send a double. Now, this is something that Nemanus. There's two issues, Nemanus and Maitza. A katan is no Nemanus, but can a katan do the Maitza? Let's say I want to be a chanuk my kids, I take them to the kennel and throw with me. Can I let my katan tovel something in the mikvah? I'm watching. I don't need the Nemanus, right? What if I'm watching? Can he do the Maitza? And Ramah, I've all tumbled with Nigam, I'm a tefillah. Oh, it's okay. If he told him in front of me, that's okay, because Because then I'm not relying on his honest. I see myself. I'm coming to do this to you, and he just can't testify. But, you know, if I have a, I don't know, if I have like a nanny cam over the Kayla Mitzvah, then I can send my confidence and do it myself. See it myself. I can't believe it, but I can let him do it under adult supervision. And so too for a guy that says, hit the Kayla like they own Kacham also in Tvila. If you total cut came through a guy, meaning you're with the guy and have the guy help you total well, and you watch, then it's okay. I will aim at all Tvila. But of course, the guy is a Neman, being on the right, so staying on Dira buttons. So what do we see? That in the end, the guy and the Kacham have the same status. They can do the Tvila, but they can't testify about the Tvila. They can only do the Tvila if an adult Jew is watching. Okay. Here, the Bach disagrees. Anyone remember Hilchos Nida? First of all, if a guy and Kotan are allowed to do this tefillah, what does that prove? That what do we not require? Kavanah. Because a guy and Kotan can't have Kavanah. So that proves that without Kavanah is okay. And therefore, what does that prove? If I have a fork and it falls out of my pocket into the lake, then I'm Yosef Zilos Kalem. The Bach disagrees. The Bach says, that's not how we talk to Hilchos Nida. In Hilchos Nida, we are machmir that you do mean Kavanah for Tefillas Nida. So why shouldn't we also be machmir here? So the Bach says we're machmir in Kavanah and disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. However, all the Achronim say he's wrong. All the Achronim say, no, you misunderstood. We're only machmir in Nida because Nida is Tumeya. She has Tumah. She's an Avatoma. For an Avatoma, we're machmir in Kavanah. But Tefillas Kalem is not because of Tumah of the Tara. It's not an Avatoma. It's just a special Gzeiras HaKosel. Right? The Kli's not necessarily Tumay. Just exerts a custom. It's just exerts a custom. You don't need Kavanah. And that's how we talk then. You don't need Kavanah like the Shulchan Aruch against the Bach. You don't need Kavanah. A goy can do it as long as you're watching. A kotzen can do it as long as you're watching. If it falls on its own into the river, you don't say. Because you don't need Kavanah against the Bach. Ah, it doesn't mean that we're not going to need Kavanah. Yeah, because that's Toma and Tara. But over here, it's not Toma and Tara, just there's a custom. You don't need Kavanah. That's the halachic sock. The Taz has an interesting diuk here, though. What's the diuk? The diuk is, in the Lashon of the Mechaber, what is the diuk? Goy hit the Kalem on the Yom Kum, also in Tzvila. Sounds like it's only for the Evet to have a good total for you. Why would it only be for the Evet? You don't come on, it should be for Hakilah. Meaning, what's the status of a Goy totally? A Goy and a Katan, they should be able to total as long as you're watching them, because you don't come on. So why is the Lashon Mechaber sent over to the Eved? But Taz has a cop here. He said, no, the Tevila is what has people that have a going total for you. Let's say you're a lazy guy. You tell the guy here, carry in one hand, carry this bag of Kalem. The other hand, carry me. Go to the Kalem. I saw a lazy guy. Put me down in a chair to watch you, and I'll watch you total the Kalem. That's really most of the has people to deal with Kalem. So why is the Mechaber sent over to the Eved? Because it's the Eved, because you can't make a bracha. By the kata, if a kachila is kata, I can make a bracha. But by the goy, what's the problem? If a goy tumbles for me, I can't make a bracha because I'm not doing it. And therefore, it's only the evidence of a kachila, I should do it with a bracha. What can I do now? Let's say I have 100 kachila. If I make a bracha and tumble one of them, and then the goy tumbles the other 99, that's what's a kachila. But to have the goy tumble all 100 is not a kachila because then I'm missing out on the bracha. Okay, this is an assumption, it's a big machlokes. That a Jew can't make a bracha if a goy does the mitzvah for him. Not everyone agrees, because the three chadash here, not the chadash on the side, that's only the great text, but the chadash in the state of chadash disagrees, says no. A Jew can make a bracha if the goy does the mitzvah for him. Okay, that's a big machlokas. This comes up in Shabbos candles also, right? If the lady forgets to light Shabbos candles, she'll be in a shmashos. But she has a good shout first. Tell the good shout to her finish process. You can tell the guy to light candles first. To the ball, both to make a bracha or not. Okay. In Tachin, in the end, we are many posts are making on the Shabbos. By Shabbos candles, they're willing to let you make a bracha. Okay, we're not going to answer one of those now. Test site. Right? One more sin. But an important one. And then we have to tell them a few other things. In Shachach, we'll look at one other thing. We'll hit the premier of Shabbos. If you forgot, and you didn't total your kli on Friday, Omer of Yom Tov, and now it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to total kli on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What do you do? You're stuck. You need this kli for Shabbos and Yom Tov, but you can't total it. What do you do when you're stuck? So remember, the Chacham Avraham gave us one eighth of when we were stuck. Break it and fix it. That obviously is not a good eighth of Shabbos and Yom Tov. right? So what do you do?
Not risk that, not the beat defaulting them.
Give it as a gift to a god and borrow it back from him, and then you're okay. And what do we say here? We should add something here. Currently, buy it from a god, you're putter. No, we got that. It's right there. You're only high if you buy it from a god, but still the god, you're putter. So give it to a god, you're putter. And then borrow it back from him. And then you're putter and feel okay until after Shabbos. You're allowed to get three gifts on Shabbos for Shabbos.
The shale.
No, the first gift, they give it to him.
But Shabbos is supposed to give the present for Shabbos on Shabbos?
Because that's not for Shabbos meat.
I'm giving them something that they can't do on Shabbos.
Okay, so maybe you don't have to. We give a lula on Shabbos. All right, you got the present.
Yeah.
All right, we give a lula on Shabbos.
Why aren't we worried about the Shema Yechil by Sheyelot?
Ah, because the rule is that if it's free borrowing or free giving gifts, we're Mekel, that we're not worried to make the Homem Kar for Shabbos meat. Okay, the rule of the Shabbos. As for Ramah, Pinya says to the whole Moshe and Mekel. Likewise, in whole, if you don't have a mikvah, then until you get to a mikvah, you should give it to a guy and borrow it back. If other Mishabbos people will kill him, Nesha Mashah Shabbos will be his letter. Oh, very important. What if you are over and use it without tobling? Then the food doesn't become trace. It doesn't trace off the food if you use the cleaver without totally. It doesn't affect the food. It only is an issue to use the cleaver. So what do you do if you use the cleaver without totally? The food's kosher, but totally clean before you use it again. Okay. Now, here's an important diuk. Well, first, let's learn the Taz. Says the Taz, this great Eitza, give it to a guy and borrow it back from him. Isn't that an amazing Eitza? The answer is yes, amazing Eitza. However, says the Taz, that only works for a short time. Meaning, it's Shabbos, you're there's only 1 or 2 days. Three, fine. Or, you're someplace without a mikvah, but then you're going to be someplace with a mikvah. How long can you get to be someplace without a mikvah, right? So then that works temporarily. But long term, indefinitely doesn't work. It's only temporary, you're not allowed to do it. Permanently. Why you're not allowed to do it permanently? He says two reasons. Number one, because if you do it permanently, then it's like it's yours. Then it becomes like it's yours because the guy really intends to give it to you as a gift, not to lend it to you. Like I say I'm borrowing it from him, but I'm really taking it from him permanently. So if it's permanently, then maybe it belongs to me. And number two, because it's zero. So number one, he's worried about the field. Say, can I borrow something from you permanently? Then I'm really owning it, not borrowing it. Number two, he said, even if I am borrowing it, this is a wrong. I'm putter sits on borrowed clothing. Forever?
30 days.
Only for 30 days, then this is a wrong. I'm putter from a zuzah to borrowed hat. And chutzar, forever? Only 30 days. We see, chutzar made a zero. The only thing 30 days is a zero, and you have to treat it like yours and do the mitzvah. That's for two reasons you can't use it permanently. Number one, because it's tantamount to ownership. Number two, even if it's not tantamount to ownership, it's a gzeira after 30 days. He says you can't find this before, so that's what he thinks. And that's what we passed in. You're not allowed to use the trick permanently, only temporarily. However, the chachmas adam in the first place in Tshuva, when he discussed how things are impossible to total because they're too big, says you should give it to a guy and borrow it back indefinitely. Say the postkin, no. We normally should not use this trick indefinitely, only for a few days. However, if you're stuck and there's no other solution, then you can use this trick forever. And that's the accepted shot in the Achronin, that when can you use this trick? Temporarily and not permanently. But if you have no choice, you can even use this trick permanently. So for example, let's say you have a coffee maker. That is just no way to total at all. Then you could sell it to a guy and borrow it back and use this trick permanently. But if you're just not lazy or it's inconvenient, then you can only use this trick temporarily. Let's say Shabbos or you're not near a mikvah, but not permanently. Meaning, Shabbos is going to end, so you're not near a mikvah. You can use this trick until you find someone who's driving near a mikvah who can total it for you. But, so we try very hard to avoid using this trick permanently. But if you're stuck, send those off the blood in the first position, you can even use this trick permanently. Or it's suggested there's another possible trick you could do, which is just
sell half or a quarter of it to a guy. And then, but it's really the same thing. Whether you sell half of it to a guy, you're still borrowing the whole thing back from him. So I don't know if that's really any better. Okay, fine. All right, I'm just wondering.
The reason why the reason why we rely on this when you could have not a Shabbos case, but at least when you could have broken and fixed it, because that's considered inconvenient.
Ah, because it's sometimes very hard to break and fix. I'm sure there's some broken things better than that line that you can break and fix it. But I say also many of these things have other sudden hakel anyway. So if there's other sudden hakel anyway, then I say how much of my side I think you can rely on it. I think I said that at the time, especially if some people say flutter. So between talking and saying father, okay, that's how long a life of this trick. One thing which is very super duper duper important, which is there's a big amaranth. Big, big, big amaranth. People think that you can use a cleat once without totaling it. But the second time you have to total it, that is not true at all. You can't use a cleat any amount of times without totaling it. Amaranthus gone. Total amaranth.
I'm not talking about that.
Where did it come from? Now, you can never know for sure where Amaranthus came from, but I have a theory.
One time came.
I have a theory that someone never learned the difference in Chesed and Yavra. Because there's a real halacha. All the modern-day posts say it. What at all? I'm sure you might someone who done it, but all the famous posts I looked at say it. A disposable plea is possible from Felix, you only use it once. A disposable clean bucket, you only use it once. Why? Because the chesed is not a clean. Right? Now, there are two different svaras, they say. One svara, they say, is because Ramos Feinstein and others prove.
Oh, I even have it here. Someone want to volunteer to help me? You know the last sheet on the seven?
Look at number two, says Ramosha. Kalim pam sila. Single use disposable kalim, says Ramosha. Number two, kalim single shimish pam achas, kiel harbi pam ainim rubidin, rubid the alain dokanak on the kalim chain domain, your card of ainishtak on pam achas, on the ishin dokanak on shaman, shaman sila. Disposable kalim are only good for using once. Although some people use them two or three times because they're cheap.
Right. But no one can use them one time. Right, so flimsy disposable kalim. Ahine ayin barama, racetrack bait the kalim, shakasa the tam, the kalim, he left us the esrog, but the last evasion, she says, horan fishi, yefra, she yandos man muat. The ramam, right, kalim made out of dried shells of vegetables are not makabal tuma, even though the taka kli eats with a baked kibble, because they don't last a long time. Masra, afshaykh, which sometimes aims upon me, volumes kind of their kli, even if you use them a couple times. But they don't really, they're not a normal kli, not makabal toma. And therefore, okay, what is the most safe, not makabal toma. Now, it's a big machlok in the achronim. If something's not makabal toma, is it also potter from tefilas kalim, which is a xeris akasav? Right? Do we say machuber is potter from tefilas kalim? We saw machlok is about that. Halach lemaisa, basically all the posts can say, number one, maybe whatever's not makabal toma is also not chayv in tefilas kalim. And number two, maybe it's just not called a kli suda. If it's not normal kli like the ones in Nochemes Midyan, in the case in the Torah, it's Maizah Shalayim. Therefore, all the postmen agree, disposable kalim are potter from, disposable kalim are potter from tefillah. So let me just answer Adi's question. Where did the Amaranthus come from? I think it came from this. Someone learned that disposable kli is potter because you only use it once. That was meant as in the chesta. It's not a chesta of kli suda if you only use it once. They misunderstood the thought of the heta for the gabra. You're allowed a gabra, you're allowed to use it once and then total it. They just never received the proper language education. So that's amaranthus. The heta of disposable kelim is because the chesta is not a kli. But if you have a real chesta of a kli, like a fork or a glass or a pot, it's a real chesta of a kli. It's not disposable. Then there's no heta to use it once without totaling. It's a gummer. You buy a new barbecue, the grill, that's a real kli. It's meant to be used 1,000 times. You can't even use it once without totaling. Ah, you already went on a hike and you have it. I'm not talking about a disposable barbecue. Nowadays they make disposable barbecues. Those fine, the disposable barbecues. No one can ever use it more than once.
You can even use them three times. Like
disposable barbecues?
If you were to, it's all right.
Yeah, maybe some crazy people will use it more than once. You know, I've never met anyone who does it. Okay, so that, you can take the disposable barbecue on your teal, and no problem. What if you bought a real grill and real charcoal and microflu, and you bring it on your teal and you really quintuple it? No hetzer whatsoever. There is no hetzer to use it even once, even in your middle of teal with all your chicken and your hamburgers and hot dogs, whatever, and you don't know how to cook it. Tough luck. You can't use it even once. That's totally it. There's no such hetzer. The hetzer is only disposable things, not proper kalim that you only, that you want to use once before you total them. What would be the only hetzer in that case? Either hope your teal goes by a lake and total it, or hope that you meet a non-Jew on the teal and you could give it to him as a gift and borrow it back for an hour and use that kula for an hour, and then you'll total it later.
I remember that Rishon, I believe, has a svar about the these plastic one-time kalim, yet he allows you to use it for kiddush. Meaning, it's not a kli for kiddush. Meaning, it's not a kli for kiddush. Meaning, Rishon holds that a kli for kiddush, from my knowledge, is not good for kiddush.
That's a fascinating question.
I'm going to take both sides of the coin. If there is a kli for kiddush, and it's not a kli for this one.
Okay, so the truth is I'm not holding the lumbus enough right now. It might be there's different dharma of kli. Maybe here you knew the kli as the kalatoma, and there you knew kli even if it's not a kli as the kalatoma. Or maybe here you have a special gedra of kli su that kamaitza shahaya and it's not kamaitza shahaya. So I'm not sure which of those is true.
But sometimes you have like a disposable kli that is kind of like, that's kind of good. So like I understand, like, that's what I was thinking about. So like I understand if you, meaning 90% of people, use them once and throw them out, so that one time it's disposable. If I want to use it...
Okay, says Rav Moshe at the end of this, the last line and a half, for Rocket Efshel is time Harbi's manach v'shvila zoling mishtam shimis ba'asabar d'mekabal toma umeva Efshel d'enim d'mekabal toma, period. Says, if it would last forever, they're just cheap and we throw them out, and that's not a hetzer. Only if they mamish wouldn't last a long time. So this for Snapple bottles, this for Moshe is not a good hetzer. A Snapple bottle can last forever. Nothing lasts forever. We're saying as forever as anything else we own.
Any jar, like salted jar. Like,
yeah, basically any glass jar is
right
to use a gazillion times.
American quality,
even though we never do.
The American quality aluminum pans.
Yes, the Israeli aluminum pans,
yeah,
for sure you can't use more than one.
So
what about the American aluminum pans? Can you use them many times?
Yeah.
This is a big tzarchi in the minig of Lahakel. In our house, we total the aluminum pans and use them many times. What, many times? Not so many times. Even we buy American aluminum pans and total them without a bracha and use them as many times as we can. Okay, good way to save money and to get out of all stakers. It's also good to save money, use it many times. Well, I need to throw it out each time. But even when we use it a gazillion times, we don't really use it a gazillion times. We use it a couple of times, and then it ends up just like breaking and getting smushed, and you have to throw it in the garbage.
But the getter is usually more than one.
So here it's tricky. A lot of the postum are only made for one time. For most of mine, says even two or three times. I don't even know if two or three is a hard limit for him. He says, not kederach kli. What if it lasted five times? I have a feeling he would still be nako. It's not like a real kli. It's still disposable. So halacha l'maisa, the minigol is to be make on aluminum pans. And I think according to Rav Moshe, they could be mako. Because even if you can use it a few times, no one's going to use it 10 times. No one's going to use it 20 times. I have to ask my wife. Because we use it a lot of times. But I don't think we ever use it 10 times. Like whenever it just doesn't last that long. It's not like a real kli. It's still not a real kli. So if you want to be on the safe side, buy the Israeli ones, and then they for sure only last one time. But the minigol is we make them on all the aluminum pans. And I think the reason is because Ramosha said even a few times. The truth is, even if you're dulking yourself, it's not going to last more than a few times. It's not going to last more than a few times. I'm not putting the Snapple bottle yet. Okay.
Isn't there another Hester that
I know, but I'm not up to
that. It's generally used once, and you decide to use it twice.
Something like that. We'll get to it in a second. Okay. Anyway, what did we learn here? Number one, there's amarasis. Don't believe the amarasis. Put it on your list of things that you shouldn't believe that are amarasis, even though lots of Orthodox Jews believe them. Right? What else goes on that list? That Mordechai was Esther's uncle. Right? Doesn't everyone know Mordechai is Esther's uncle? What does it say in the Bible? He asked their vasto do, they were cousins. Everyone knows he was her uncle. Obviously, he was her uncle. Why? She was a beautiful young girl, and he was an old rabbi with a long white beard. It doesn't say either of those in Minnesota. It says he was a big rabbi who was very smart. It doesn't say he was old. You have big rabbis who are very smart who are 30, right? It doesn't say how old she was. If she was old, how did she capture the king's imagination? Okay, Chazal tell us that it was a chut shel chesed min hashamayim. Maybe she was 70, and nonetheless. Anyway, okay, you can make a lot. Menachem, you go through the also that you need two different brachos and mishloach manos, right? Also, something invented by a kindergarten teacher once.
No, that's
about machlokes, and some people say it's amarat. I'm not talking about things that are kind of says it's amarat, but that other people take very seriously. You know, I'm talking about things that all Talmud Chachamim say are amarat. You know.
How do you put your candles back in the menorah? How do you put them in?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Biker. Okay, we have one more thing that I want to learn, which is, what about Rabosai? This, what this sheet is about, we're just going to do Bekitzer outside. What, did you get this whole board? Or did I add something to it?
I think we
the what? Okay. Anyway, how about cans and bottles that you buy food in? How about things you buy food in? Do you have to total them? Right? Can you drink Snapple from the Snapple bottle? I think Rav Schefter says no, right? Can you drink Coke from the Coke can? Which Rav Schefter might say yes. I have a feeling. Everything else, right? Lots of things we take from the bottles and the cans, right? Many, many things are sold in glass jars or bottles or metal cans, right? Very common thing. Can you use those without totaling them? Good question. So this is a tremendous machlokas, and basically all of the poskim say it's mutter. It was always the minhag to be mekel. They just argued why it's mutter. So what are some of the svaras? What are some of the svaras? why it's mutter? So, did you check, Chaim? Okay, great. What are some of the svaras why it's mutter? Packaging, right? What do we call it? Why is it mutter? Right, why is it mutter to eat from the package? The glass, obviously only glass or metal, without totaling. If it comes in cardboard, then we have no shaila. So what are some of the shitas? Number one, the Chelkas Yaakov. Says the Chelkas Yaakov, what? Chelkas Yaakov of Yaakov Reich from Switzerland? Yeah. A modern posek. He's the one with the electric kalim. Correct. He is the one with the electric kalim. So, what does he say here in the second paragraph? It doesn't matter the order. Second paragraph, he says, I saw people in Apardes, which is the Chasher Rabbinic Journal of America in those days. I don't know if they still have it. That rabbis argued, and they brought a raya from Kalim that temporary packages are not makabel tumah because they're not a real kli because they're only tashmish arai. Okay, that is a good. Anything that is only temporary is only a tashmish arai and is not considered a real kli. That's what the Chelkas Yaakov says. That's what the that's what the Minchas Yitzchak here says. If you look at the Minchas Yitzchak, he's talking about aluminum pans, sorry. He's talking about aluminum pans, and he's Mekel. Where most of the Minchas Yitzchak talk about aluminum pans, the Chelkas Yaakov applies this to the cans that people buy food in. The cans that people buy food in. He says, It's not chayv and tefillah because it's only disposable, it's only temporary. That gets tricky because it might depend what kind of kli. Some things are more disposable, some things less disposable. What are some of the heterim? One heter is disposable
is Hauser meets Mila. But that's not the real header of the Feltes Doctrine.
The real header of the Feltes Doctrine is the first paragraph. What does he say? He says that the already in Hungary, they argued about this, about the seltzer bottles. And what does he say? Kosna Shudpriya Sada, I'm not sure who that is, who says, no, you know why you're putter? You have in mind not to buy the kli, only the food. When I go to the store, when I go to ShopRite, or for that matter to Rami Levy, actually, that gets trickier. When I go to ShopRite, and when I go to ShopRite, and I buy a bottle of Snapple, I have in mind to be kona the drink, but not the glass. So the glass still wants to ShopRite, still wants to a guy. You just borrowed it from a guy, I'm putter. That's what the Shulchan Yaakov quotes in the Shut, from the Shut Pre-Hasadah. So, the Shut Pre-Hasadah and the Shulchan Yaakov says, no. And he even says, that under you have this in mind. Why? Because what is Tosos saying, Meruva? He says, Hetera Nichle Delikni, Yisur Lo Nichle Delikni. It's an umdah that everyone only wants to be Kona Heter, not Isser. I would be an Isser if you're Kona, so it's an umdah you don't want to be Kona. But he says, Eino Rosa Liknos Es Hakli. Now, the problem is, it's not going to help if you buy from Rami Levy. Because if you buy from Rami Levy, Rami Levy was Kona the Kli. So now it belongs to Yisrael. That was originally the one to the guy.
He never had a mind.
Yeah, but that might be a little trickier.
This whole thing is, if I buy fine china, then I didn't have a mind to buy the glass. I only want the first.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's
what this thing is. No, that's exactly. Because you're going to throw it out after you drink the
yeah,
mash.
Yeah,
you don't want
to
buy it.
If someone's
going to
buy it,
you don't want to buy it. You don't
want
to. The point is this. You don't want to keep the Snapple bottle. You only want to use the Snapple bottle. So you have the money to buy it. You're going to have to buy it.
You definitely do it. Between wanting and want to use it, but I mean, like we saw by the at the remote show, like if something you just comes to, you know, that you could just put on the table, you don't need to clear, like it's the case. But obviously, a bowl or a cup, like you don't have that there, the liquid's already spilled. You clearly want it very badly.
Exactly. No, you want to use it, but you don't necessarily want to buy it. He says that. What does Chosin have to say? He says right here. He says, you don't want to buy it. Over front, he says, how do we know you don't want to buy it? Because you don't total it. If you don't total it, then it would be an avera if you bought it. So obviously you didn't want to buy it.
Well, the idea is that you want to do an avera that's your much better than that's
only good to consider. Okay. Anyway, let's look at some other. Fine, let's look at some other. Kula then. Yes.
I mean, this is the reason why it's mutter to use the food from the. What exactly?
Yeah, give me a second, okay? I'll clarify that in a moment. Let's just look at some other. Makoros. The Myrtle Diskin and Rishloma Zalman and the Sri De'esh. But if you look at, in 1 second, yeah, look at Mukar 5, the very last part, the last paragraph. Ask for obeisal after the custom to shut Marl Diskin with Pshitas. Debekona kliyam mashke in tzarch lishbach hamakro lekvila. If you buy a Snapple bottle, it's Snapple. You don't have to pour it on the toilet. Why? To shave the alpaca, have you both nipra shimash. It's not called shimash. It's called shimash to put something into it. Now, I know this is more Mekel than Rav Moshe about the restaurant. It's not called shimush to keep the Snapple in there till you're ready to drink it. It's only called shimush to, like, refill it. Emptying it is not called shimush. Rav Shlomo Zalman said better. He said, you know what? What if you wanted to total the Snapple bottle? What would you have to do first? Empty out the Snapple. Therefore, emptying out the Snapple is mutter. It's not considered shimush. Yeah, do it before you total. So, they also quote this in the Sri
Deish. From the bottle would be a problem.
What?
Drinking from the bottle.
No, because who cares if you empty it into your mouth or into a cup? You have to empty it. So here is another svara of the Maharal Diskin, and also the Sri Deish says this, it's not on the sheet, and Rav Shlomo Zalman says something very similar. He says, just emptying it once is not called shemush. You're allowed to empty it before you total it, and then you throw it in the garbage. If you refill it, that's the problem. If empty, it is okay.
And Aaron's point is good. There's an obvious difference between like using a sleeve and emptying it. I mean, say then you're a reductionist, and you can just kind of know this thing is like a sleeve, however. Like, I'm drinking with it, and you're not and like, you, even if you want to look at Kavana, like, when you're emptying it, you are looking to remove it from the thing. When you're drinking from it, you're looking to transfer liquid from one place into my mouth. Like, is
that? Judge Beardiff, you could say, that's true if I'm pouring it out into a cup, because I'm like, that's not really using it, I have to get it empty somehow, but if I'm drinking it, good at putting it into my mouth, maybe that's more hummer.
What I remember, yes, I think that was a receptor as well.
He was, okay, so he disagrees with this part. Okay, fair enough. But you could see saying, no, what's the difference? Who cares if I emptied into my mouth or into the cup? Another, sorry, he says here, this only applies to cans. Right?
Chazanish.
Yes, so he has said, based on the Chazanish.
Alti, Chazanish, for cans only. Anyone know why the Chazanish would say it's no problem with cans?
Why is the Chazanish saying no problem to use a can that was made by a guy? Exactly, you made the can. He didn't, because what's the famous sheet of the Chazanish? It's Chomer Nechel Shabbos. Whoever opens the can is making the kli. Okay, a sealed can is not a kli. It's just raw. It's just scrap metal. It's just sheet metal. Whoever opens it makes the kli. So according to the Chazanish, the Jew made the kli. And by the time it became a kli, the Jew owned the material and the labor. He opened the can and owned the can. Therefore, the Jew made the kli, no problem. That only works for cans, not for bottles. Because bottles are already made. You just take off the bottle cap. You don't make the bottle. In a glass bottle, you don't make the glass bottle. You just take off the cap. Yes, it is,
yeah,
because the cap is a separate cleat.
No, on metal ones, where it's the metal ones where you make, isn't that the difference between metal and plastic?
No, you're fixing the bottle cap, but you're not fixing the bottle.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, cans only, it's mutter because the Jew who opens it is making the cleat. But of course, that only helps for cans, not for bottles. Okay. We'll mention one other, and then we will. The two that in the Tzitz Eliezer, he quotes this Chazanish, right? That's the first underlying part of the Tzitz Eliezer. then he quotes from the Tov Ta'am, the Das. Tov Ta'am Adas gets a very, very sharp svara. It's so sharp that it's really hard to say this is true. He says, you're not chayv to tovel it because it was never a klisuda the guy. Why? Back to the Chachmas Adam. It was never a klisuda the guys. What was it of the guys? A klischora of the guys. It only becomes a klisuda when the consumer buys it, who's a Jew. Therefore, it was never a klisuda of the guys. It was a klischor of the guys. So you're not chayav. That's very, very sharp.
And everything you buy is relevant.
Yes, everything. What?
And everything I'm buying from the store, then, is not chayav
and shiloh. Hold on a second.
Than we're thinking.
All right, let's leave that for now, because you're right, I'm obviously missing something. Okay, the other famous kula is Rav Moshe number 4. Rav Moshe has a tremendous kula, but it has a basis for it. Says Rav Moshe. Here's a famous kula. Anyone know a little Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni? What do we darshan from the Pesukim, Ba'Bokar, Ba'Tzon, Ba'Yayin, Ba'Sheichar? What do we darshan from all those extra words? Anyone know? Lochen, de'im agav uro, lochen yayin agav machavit. In Ma'aser Sheni, he points out, right? This is like a good reshef. Those are reshef of love examples. You have no kolot or kulin or pasuk real life shaylos. Who knows Ma'aser Sheni? Said, I have Ma'aser Sheni money. What am I only allowed to use it for? Maisa Sheni money. In the Zman HaMikdash.
Food and things.
Food in your soy. If I buy non-food, then it's still Maisa Sheni. Let's say I buy a barrel of wine for 100 shekel. The wine costs 95 shekel, the barrel costs 5. I mean, they sell it as a unit. Hold on a second, I spent 95 shekel on food, but 5 on non-food. How is that okay? Says the Gemara, no problem. By Yayin, you can buy the wine with the barrel. All 100 shekel loses its kedusha, and now you can do whatever you want with the barrel. You know, it's like, treat the barrel as Meister Shady. Oh, what does that mean, says Ramosha? I spent 95 on the wine, great. The Kedusha transferred for the money to the wine. The wine with Meister Shania, ate it, the Kedusha with Tara and Yerushalayim. 5 of it was the barrel. So either 5 of the dollars should still be Kadosh, or the barrel should still be Kadosh. Where did the Kedusha go? Where did the other 5 Kedusha go? Says Ramosha, what do we see from here? That the barrel doesn't count. When the barrel's holding the wine, it doesn't count. It just buckles to the wine. Really, I didn't spend 5 on the barrel. I spent 100 on the wine. And the wine had part of it, part of the wine looked like a barrel, but it was really part of the wine. Then when I drank the wine, I was left with the barrel. Where did this barrel come from? I spent 100 shekel on the wine. The barrel came from nowhere. That's what Moshe says. We see from here that a package is bottled to the food and doesn't have its own status. Says Moshe, therefore, the kli is bottled to Hamashkin. Says Moshe, therefore, I never bought a kli from a guy. I only bought food from a guy. And I don't mean chayim. I had in mind not to buy the kli. I had in mind to buy everything, but it wasn't a kli. It was just the shell of the food. Let me give you a classic example. If I buy, I don't know, I buy a watermelon, and then I decide to use the outside, I scoop it all out, and decide to use the rest of the basket. I never bought it out as a kli. I just bought food. And then, as part of the byproduct of my food, I ended up with a kli. Says Moshe, that's it. It's just a shell. If you make kelim out of the shells of walnut, that doesn't mean they weren't food when you bought them. It wasn't a kli. Says Moshe, you never bought a kli from a guy. You bought food from a guy. And then, as a byproduct, you found yourself in possession of a kli. But you didn't buy a kli from a guy. This is not a kli of a guy. This is food of a guy. Since you didn't buy the kli from a guy, you're a putter. You basically just created a kli out of thin air in your own home. You didn't create it. You just memela came into possession of a kli. You didn't buy the kli from the guy. You bought food from the guy. Therefore, it's potter fields came with gamre. So what he says, nitzishlo kadami akum kli klal. You never bought a kli from a guy. Rak eitzel yisrom las a kli. It just became a kli when it was yours. What if all of a sudden I wave my magic wand and I have a kli? I'm potter from tvila. That's what I basically did. All of a sudden I had only food. I had only iced tea. I drank the iced tea and all of a sudden I had a bottle. Okay, that's not a bottle I bought from a guy. That's a bottle that was created in my house as a byproduct of something else. And therefore, there's no chiyuv tefila. That's Ramosha's tremendous kiddush. Says Ramosha's tremendous kiddush is that the kli is batel to the food. The lo kana kli me'akom ela naseh Kli Mimela Biyad Yisrael. Nasa Kli Mimela Biyad Yisrael. That's a tremendous chiddush. What's the nafkamina between Rav Moshe's chiddush lakula and most of the other kulas? Exactly. You know, sometimes people do this.
I think they tried to stop.
Right, sometimes people, you never saw people put sugar in the instant coffee jars? Right? People, lots of times, people put sugar in the instant coffee jars.
The grape juice in yeshiva. We finished the grape juice, and we want to fill up water. So that was a good
idea. Oh, great. Okay, you finished the grape juice. You want to fill up water, yeah. Right? So what if you want to use it as a water bottle? It's a little funny to use glass as a water bottle. What if you want and the restaurants. Do you ever go to the restaurants? Do they have this? Is it only me? Fancy restaurants, sometimes they use old wine bottles as the water bottles for your table. You ever see that? Maybe it's because my restaurant is in a winery. The restaurant in the closest to my house is in a winery, so maybe it's part of the decor. But they don't give you like a pitcher. They give you an old wine bottle. Okay? So are you allowed to do that? Can you put sugar in the coffee jar? So that's the tremendous nafmina. Meaning, a Dominicus to be mako. Okay, Rav Schechter's machmir. But the Dominicus to be mako. The nafmina is, what about reusing it? If you say, because disposable, usher, reuse, the hetcher's only for disposable things.
If you say you won't want to be Kona, it's all busters.
If you're going to keep using it, you obviously had a mind to be Kona. That's a harama you're not allowed to do forever.
If you say empty, well, it's not Kolshimash, yes, reusing is Kolshimash. However, if you say your Kadanesh is Mutter, but that's only for 10, right? So for 10, there's more stuff in the hot dog.
And also only if you agree with the Kadanesh. The problem is that in Hilchos Shabbos, it's really not so possible to agree with the Kadanesh. Your Shlomo Zalman disagrees with the Kadanesh.
And for Dar Moshe, it's Mutter, because you never bought a Kli at all.
The only exception for a Moshe would be if you really, it wasn't just a package. Like, sometimes they have, like, special commemorative something, right? You buy cookies in a tin, special commemorative tin for winning the World Series, whatever, that you should save forever. In that case, even Rav Moshe would be machmer. Because it wasn't meant as just a package. It was meant that people would buy it for the tin. But that's a very rare case. It's very rare that people actually buy it for the package, right? Very uncommon case. Rav Moshe, basically 99.9% of all cases we're likely to encounter, Rav Moshe would be Mako across the board, hat or gummer.
A lot of the offering ingredients, especially if it is on a whiskey bottle, we actually got one for our user project, like that.
But does the offer ingredients, people are going to reuse it? Or
no, well, you
no I still think. As long as they intend you to throw it out when it's empty, I think Rav Moshe's hat would apply. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as you're going to throw it out, I think Rav Moshe's hat would apply.
So yeah. I was going to ask about, like, a lot of people when they go to the Coca-Cola factory in B'nai Brak, they'd have to get Cokes with their Hebrew name on it. And, like, often they'll, like, save the Coke, either drink or they save the
So it's interesting. In that case, it could be that Ramosha's Heter wouldn't apply. It's like, you really intend more to buy the bottle. Could be your emotions have to wouldn't apply.
Others would.
What? Yes, if you don't. Yeah, correct. Correct. Or someone that would have to apply to drink it once. Because I don't think people refill it. Okay. Anyway, halakhah l'maisa, you can think of a lot of clever nachminas. We have to stop now. Halakhah l'maisa, the main nachminas, can you reuse it? Because that's maisa m'choyom. I go to places and I see people put sugar in the instant coffee jar. Is that okay? Or is that not okay to put sugar in the instant coffee jar? Which basically depends if we hold our Moshe's Heter or the other Heter. So, halakha l'maisa, many, many poskim, especially in America, are mekel, like Rav Moshe. So there is what to rely on. Okay, I definitely think there's the Rav Moshe's tremendous kiddush. Right? I think it would definitely be proper. Mahadir, like all the other folks can get to Rav Moshe. And I personally do not reuse the coffee jars. I either throw out the coffee jars or I total them, which means I throw them out. Because like, what do I need this coffee jar for? They're not all that good. So I personally am machmer, but some of the ones to rely on Rav Moshe certainly has what to rely on, and you can't have any tainas. So some wants to rely on Rav Moshe, they could rely on Rav Moshe, and it's a heter gomer, and it's a very clever svara. Most poskim did not say like Rav Moshe. And therefore, there's definitely room to be machmer as well. But keep in mind, the nafkamis are usually glass, which means that it's only drabbanan anyway, because it's only the glass things we usually reuse. So therefore, that's much, you know, so it's only drabbanan. So you rely on Moshe and drabbanan, for sure. So the mitzvah won't rely on your Moshe, although I personally am machmer on it.
Is there any sort to do with how, defining what position should be using? I mean, maybe you could be using Kachila, putting it in originally, already in, it's already considered to be the edit.
That sort of
edit.
Yeah.
And you could rely on that at any point, even if.
But Moshe thinks not. Remember, he said if you go someplace, they serve you glass, you can't drink it. Right? But Moshe didn't like that. But according to the model Diskin, yes. According to model Diskin, it's a great nafkamina. If you go to your non from aunt's house and she pours you a cup of Coke, you can drink it. That's not using it.
I
think that's what he says. But if you're pouring yourself, no way. Or if you're letting her pour for you, no way. But that's what it sounds like. It sounds like that's what he's saying.
But what's the issue of drinking, though? Because you've already used it.
What?
I don't understand.
No, maybe that's called using it to drink it.
It's called
using. It's called shemesh.
But right now, it's just.
But it doesn't matter. It's called shemesh to drink it. You're using this as a drinking utensil. That's called shemesh.
I mean, if I let her pour for me, if I didn't get her, I shouldn't have left her. But now it's in my cup.
That's not cool because it's called shemesh or not.
Oh, what are we talking about? The container or my cup? What do you feel? Sorry, I was assuming that I was out of plastic cup or something.
Oh, no, that case for sure has to cover.
Sure, right.
Yeah, nothing to talk about. Yeah, that's the example of the food doesn't become trace, that's what I said. Yeah, that's for sure. Okay. Okay, we'll continue our marriage next time with the next segment.
Sir,
get the what?
Sir,